Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State, Maryland. And we're going to go to the other side of the ball. We're going to talk some defense, Dustin. We're talking when Penn State's on defense, that means we've got Maryland on offense, and we got Taulia Tagovailoa, which will be the one and only time I choose to pronounce his name. And you've got to go into this game thinking he can be very dangerous, that he will get hot at some point in the game, but he's going to make some mistakes somewhere. It felt like that's pretty much how it played out.
And if it wasn't him making mistakes, other guys were making mistakes. Drops, and I'm sure, you know, not executing the protections, not executing in the passing game. Tagovailoa, when he is hot, he is very, very good, and he's dangerous. And I think James Franklin, throughout the entire part of this game, which, you know, to go back to that minute 15 in the first half when Penn State gets the ball and why they managed that the way they did, I think a lot of that was out of respect for what Taulia Tagovailoa could do. And that is be crafty, quick release, when he can be accurate on the move. So when things do break down, he's creative and accurate. But, you know, I think the strategy made a lot of sense, to especially after last year where you got blasted by big plays, is let's make you string together 10 and 15 play type drives in order to score. We can hang with you. Let's make sure that we wrap up in the open field. Let's make sure if a guy catches a 13-yard pass that it stays at 13 yards and it doesn't turn into 26 because we missed a tackle. So Penn State executed all those little things well, which, to their credit, you know, especially this year versus last year, this Maryland game versus last Maryland game, it's been head and shoulders. It's been night and day different, this Penn State defense this year versus last. But again, in this one, let's make sure that we're keeping things in front of us, that we're not allowing breakdowns, that we're communicating well, that we're swarming to the ball, all the things that have made this defense so good all year. It was important to do that in this game because the odds of Maryland being able to not have a running game, which they did not in this one, they didn't seem particularly interested in establishing it all that much, but for them to not have a running game and to make Tagovailoa throw the ball, 57 times, that is just saying, you know, we're not getting beaten by the big play. You're going to have to, this whole offense is going to have to execute, which means catching passes for Tagovailoa. That means not overthrowing, underthrowing, making mistakes, putting the ball on the turf. So I think the formula was pretty simple. Let's just make sure that we play this simple, straight up, and not get burnt by big plays. If we do that, we're going to out-execute this Maryland offense. And I think they had confidence that they would be able to do that, especially in the red zone, out-execute Maryland in that phase of the game. So over the course of four quarters, that's what it came down to in my eyes, just better execution by the Penn State defense than the Maryland offense. They were always going to have their moments because there's some talent there. They're creative. They're exciting. They've got a good quarterback. They've got some pretty good weapons, even without Demas, who got hurt early in the year. But you're just not going to drive 80 and 85, 90 yards on this Penn State defense, and that's what they are forcing them to do.
And as we've talked about before on our show, this is such a different defense than a year ago. They're good tacklers. They don't miss tackles like we saw Maryland last year. And you brought up the one point about Maryland essentially didn't have a running game this week, which after Illinois a couple weeks ago, it's certainly nice to say that. I think you got to tip the hat to the defensive line this week especially, because not only were they missing P.J. Mustipher, but Jesse Lucada did not play either. And that makes a difference not only in his play, but the depth takes another hit. And remember, this is a team that's been without Adisa Isaac all year and Akeem Beeman nicked up. That's a lot of people that are down on the defensive line, and they still put in a nice performance.
It was impressive against Ohio State the week before. Trevion Henderson, just like as I thought Maryland was going to experience some success and they were going to get some things going in the passing game, because you can't really fully take that away. You know, Trevion Henderson was bound to break one in the running game against Ohio State. But, you know, for them to be able to dig deep the way that they have these past 2 weeks and really just play, you know, one foot in front of the other, do your job. You know, I think the way they've responded up front has been really, really impressive. They're outmanned. They didn't have a ton of good depth, experience depth in the first place. And it's been tested in such a big way. And I think I made the mistake after seeing what Illinois did, which, by the way, I'm sure we'll touch on this later. Illinois just beat Minnesota, who was ranked number 20 by the College Football Playoff Committee. So now they're on the board with another ranked win. But the way Illinois just ran it almost at will, to me, was a damning testament against the not having P.J. Mustipher. And I just thought it could be trouble the rest of the way. They've buckled down and they've really responded well. You have to give some Illinois some credit there. Chase Brown and Brett Bielema for that game plan. But they've dug deep a couple weeks in a row and they've taken it away. And Maryland, I think probably they were expecting Maryland to give up on it early if they didn't experience success with it. And that's exactly what happened. I think going in, if you would have said they're going to have to drop back and throw it 58 times total, they're going to go 58 pass plays to 27 runs, I think Penn State would have really liked that.
And when you're forcing the team to pass, all of a sudden you're playing into the best part of Penn State's defense. Their DBs, their defensive backs. They've got multiple cornerbacks that are good. Tariq Castro Fields, Joey Porter, and again, another one of my personal favorites, Daquan Hardy, who I think does an incredible job as that slot cornerback. But perhaps even better than the cornerbacks are the two safeties. And it always seems like at the end of the game, they come up huge. First, it looked like Brisker was going to get that big play. He got the interception, and it was called back. And then you had Jair Brown. And I know it was fairly late in the game. I was still nervous when he up until he made that play, and it was a huge one.
I think just in general with those guys, yes, a huge play. And you know, at that point in time, we're still talking about it being a football game. And Maryland having a little bit of success. But with Jair Brown and Jaquan Brisker, you know, these guys are athletic and they're smart. They see things well. They react quickly, especially Jaquan Brisker. He's getting a lot of love on a national level. And from that NFL draft community is starting to identify him and see things that he's doing these past couple weeks. But both of them are just very, very competitive players. You know, on a snap in, snap out basis, whatever their assignment is, whatever they're supposed to do, these guys do not want to lose at all. And so there's a lot of fight in both of these guys. They're both, I think, future NFL safeties. Jaquan Brisker more immediately so than Jair Brown. They're both game wreckers. They can make big plays, have a nose for the ball, and I think that sets a nice tone for the whole defense. But I think that's exactly it to me. Is in run support, defending the pass, they are very, very competitive, and they don't take any snaps off. And when your two safeties are so good against the run, they're so good against the pass, and they are as competitive as they are, that is a huge component of this defense, especially in this game. And that's a great – I don't think I really boiled it down to that before, but that's a great point you made about them – always finding a way to show up late in games, in close games when they need to show up. And to me, I think that goes back to their competitiveness.
I'm not saying they're not competitive, but what I really attribute that to is their smarts. When those interceptions are typically, they're not one-on-one with the receiver, the responsible guy to cover that guy. They're coming over to help out. They're reading the play. They're reading the quarterback. And I don't know if that's from watching film a lot that they learn about the quarterback, or just they're instinctively that good at it. But I'm impressed with that ability to make plays. And they are game changers.
They're game changers. And I think there are certain players, even really, really talented ones, when the bright light is shining in these key moments late in games or whatever, there are some who want to rise into that spotlight, and there are some who might kind of shrink away. These guys want to be targeted in the passing game. They want you to run at them in the running game. That's what they want. And for them to want and embrace these big time moments really kind of says it all and sets the tone for this whole defense.
And the other part to this is you talked about making tackles. Jair Brown led the team in the game with 9 total tackles. Brisker not far behind with 7. So they do come up and make tackles and make plays. There was one other play in the game, Dustin, that I just want to hit on. When Penn State was on defense, their defense was on the field. And that's when Tallulah went out of bounds and got shoved by number 53 on the Penn State sideline. First of all, do you think it should have been a penalty? Second of all, that's too bad when they have duplicate numbers and the wrong players identified.
And good for the TV broadcast to fix that in the end. But it was all the whole narrative was building. Rasheed Walker is a Maryland guy. He's standing on the sideline. It was Fred Hansard in this case. Both of them are super nice kids, too. So sometimes being in competitive moments, they get the best of you as a kid, as an adult. And that's what I kind of attributed to. I was really surprised that no flag was thrown over there. I can only say that nobody saw that. That it just looked like you see guys run into the opposing sideline all the time, lose their balance, slip, slide, whatever. I'm assuming the refs, that's what they saw or didn't see. But there was some definite arm extension there from Hansard and shoved Tungavailoa backwards. I'm surprised that this kid would do something like that. And I'm sure upon film review Sunday, Monday, he was ripped a new one, especially, you know, that's the kind of stuff. 15 yards in that situation and getting the crowd erupting in that situation, that's just something that nobody on this team can have, let alone the integrity aspect of it. But I was stunned that Fred Hansard did that, and I was also surprised that they didn't throw a flag. And I think Penn State was really, really lucky, because who knows? You know, a personal foul 15-yard penalty can be a cohesive thing for both the crowd and the other team.
I think you're right. They were very fortunate. Don't extend your arms. You don't shove the guy. It's one of those things. It's just don't do anything that even gives the appearance of this. I often accuse Brandon Smith of doing that late shove. No, don't do it. Don't give the officials an excuse, and especially when it's the opposing quarterback, you can't do it. And you're right. I do feel also that Penn State got a real break. It was almost a wasted play because the backup quarterback came in for one play in quick incompletion that didn't have a chance. So Penn State finally got a break from the officials on that one. That is it for quarter number 3. In quarter number 4, we're going to circle back and we're going to talk a little more about Jahan Dotson. Stay tuned for that. Fans are back and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.